for many, 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 many generations. Even Moses' time, in Christ's time, it was, it was not understood or not believed or not wanted to believe. And I find as I travel, and not only as I travel, but it's here in Missouri, Independence. And now on the Facebook, some of the Facebook programs or subjects, and it's a question of tithing. And how it should be paid, to whom it should be paid, how much it should be paid upon, what percentage should it be paid. And all of these questions are because we have not, or they have not, studied the scriptures, because the scriptures are plain in all parts of it. Tithing was not a subject that began with Abraham. Tithes had been paid, obviously, to Melchizedek and his predecessors for many years, no doubt generations. And to begin with, I want to lay a little groundwork. And so if you turn over to Genesis and the 10th chapter, I'd like to point out here the beginning of not necessarily tithing, but the beginning of the functions and the lineage from which these things came. And beginning with the 10th chapter and the first verse, we find, now these are the generations of the sons of Noah: Shem, Ham, Japheth. And unto them were sons born after the flood. And it goes on down and gives the genealogy of those that that followed and from which Abraham, who was Abram to begin with, and when he first faced tithes. And if we turn over now to the 11th chapter, and beginning with verse 10. And we noted back that in that first chapter, or 10th chapter in the first verse, that Shem was the first son of Noah. And here in the 10th verse, we find these words. These are the generations of Shem. Shem was 100 years old and begot Arphaxad 2 years after the flood. I'm not going to read all of this down through here, but for brevity's sake at this point. But when you read on down through the 26th verse, you'll find the genealogy of Abram. And he was the son of Terah. And he, Terah lived 70 years before he begot Abram and then his two brothers, Nahor and Haran. And then we also find down through here that Abram was commanded of the Lord to leave his homeland of Ur, and go to Canaan. And Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran for Canaan. And then we turn on over to the 14th chapter of Genesis. And beginning with the 10th verse, we find out some things of Abram's activities. And we'll begin to read there. And the vale or valley of Siddim was full of its, the war had started. I want to give a little more background here before we start reading. Sodom, the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah and other kingdoms around Abram began to war against him and to Lot. And Abram had parted because of the size of their families and the problems of maintaining their living so forth in close quarters together, and they had separated. And there began to be wars among them. And that's when the 10th verse here comes in. And the veil and the the kings who were being attacked had attempted to escape, and some of them fell into this first part that I'm reading. And the Vale of Siddim was full of slime pits, and slime pits is noted as asphalt. Whether this is correct or not, I wouldn't say, but I wouldn't be surprised. And the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there in the pits. And they that remained fled to the mountains. And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son. Now, some references to Lot and Abram leave out the fact that he was his brother's son. More of them identify him, and he was Abram's nephew, actually, who dwelt in Sodom and his goods and departed. And there came one that had escaped and told Abram, the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and brother of Aaron, and these were confederate with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was captive, actually his nephew was captive, he armed his trained servants born in his house, in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them and his servants by night, and smote them and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought back, again his brother's son, Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter, and Chedorlaomer, and the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheva, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and the priest of the Most High God. And he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram, of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemy into thine hands." And he gave him, that is, Abram gave Melchizedek a tithe of all. And the king of Sodom said unto Abraham, "Give me the persons and the goods to thyself." And Abram said to the king of Sodom, "I have lifted up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even of the shoelaces, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou should say, I have made Abram rich, save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which were with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portions." And so we see here that Abram, later to be renamed by God to Abraham, and the head of the beginning of the tribe of Israel, paid tithes to this was long before, actually three generations even, before they creating by God of Israel, and several hundred years before the law of Moses came into effect. And So this lays the earliest that I've been able to find. I don't claim that there's not earlier, but I don't believe that there would be any dispute that this valid dispute, at least, that This provision had been in effect for many generations before Moses and even before Abraham. I'd like now to turn over to Leviticus for a moment. And in the 27th chapter, and read the last five verses. And all the tithe of the land, whether of seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. And let's stop just for a moment there. If we do not acknowledge and recognize that everything that exists belongs to God, we need to do some very serious study. And not just in the Bible, but in the Book of Mormon. And when we take the so-called researchers of the so-called educated religious students and professors, we deny the power of God. I don't say that these things should not be read and try to be understood, but anything, and I don't care what it is, that disagrees with these two books is of Satan, is of the devil. They are not true, they are not reliable, and they will not stand up under the test that you and I, as Christian believers, should put them to. And I will go on. And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, and his tickback, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. Instead of a tenth, he should pay a fifth. And so here in Leviticus, the amount of tithes is determined and defined. Now going on. And according to the tithe of the herd and the flocks, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. He shall not search whether it be good or bad, neither shall he change it. And if he change it at all, then both it and the change thereof shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. In other words, you forfeit both. These are the commandments which the Lord commanded Moses for the children of Israel in Mount Sinai. And the law of Moses has been mutilated and misunderstood, or we have been, and when I say we, I'm speaking of all peoples, not just of the Church of Christ, but all who would follow the teachings and keep the commandments of God in whatever part of the world they may be. And the gospel has been known in this land for a very great number of years. And if we'll turn over to Alma, The 10th chapter, which is page 349. Chapter 10, I'd like to read what was given them on the brass plates that they brought with them when they came to this land. It was not a new commandment given to them after they got here. They brought it with them from Jerusalem. And I'd like to read the portion of this chapter. And now I said concerning the holy order of his high priesthood, there were many which were ordained, and this pertains to more than just title, and became high priests of God. And it was on account of their exceeding faith and repentance and their righteousness before God, they choosing to repent and work righteousness rather than perish. Therefore, they were called after the holy order and were sanctified, and their garments were washed white through the blood of the Lamb. Now, they being sanctified by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, having their garments made white, being pure and spotless before God, could not look upon sin, save it were with abhorrence. And you know, we should look in that same way, whether we're of the priesthood or whether we're not, upon the abominations that are going on in the world today. And not just in the world. But you know, one of the abominations that I find all too prevalent on, especially on Facebook, the abbreviations that are used for curse words, taking the Lord's name in vain. These are an abomination. We should never tolerate them. We should never use them. They're not humorous. They're not funny. They are totally soul destroying. And we need to take that in account also. Going on. And there were many, exceeding great many, which were made pure and entered into the rest of their Lord God. And now, my brother, I would that ye should humble yourselves before God and bring forth fruit, meet for repentance, that ye may also enter into that rest. Yea, humble yourself, even as the people in the days of Melchizedek, who was also a high priest after this same order which I have spoken, who also took upon him the high priesthood forever. And it was this same Melchizedek to whom Abraham is used here because his name had been changed by the time that apparently, but his name was actually Abram when he gave his first tithe, paid tithes. Yea, even our father Abram paid tithes of 1/10 part of all that he possessed. Not just of what was left over after he had all the things he wanted and needed, or thought he needed, but all that he possessed. And now these ordinances were given after this manner, that thereby the people might look forward on the Son of God, it being a type of his order, or it being his order, and this, that they might look forward to him for a remission of their sins, that they might enter into the rest of the Lord. Now, this Melchizedek was a king over the land of Salem, and his people had waxed strong, and this is going on with this because it also covers another error that is prevalent in churches and even in the Church of Christ, that Melchizedek was probably Christ. This passage denies that and clarifies that for us once and for all. That Melchizedek, having exercised mighty faith and received the office of high priest according to the holy order of God, did preach repentance unto his people. Not everybody, but his people. Of course, I don't think he turned anybody away either. And behold, they did repent, and Melchizedek did establish peace in the land in his days. Therefore, he was called the Prince of Peace, for he was the king of Salem, and he did reign under his father. Now, his father was a human being. He was not, this is not speaking of God. And there were many before him. Now, I want you to pay close attention to this also. Now, there were many before him, and also there were many after him, but none were greater. Therefore, of him they have more particular mention. Now, I need not rehearse the matter. What I have said may suffice. But I do want you to listen, if you're reading, to pay close attention to the 17th verse, because it is vital to the salvation of each and every one of us. Behold, the scriptures are before you. If you will wrest them, it shall be to your own destruction. Now, that's not my words. That's the words that Alma was given to give to his people. And that 17th verse is one of the strongest wordings of our absolute need to keep the scriptures before us and keep them unmolested, I'll say, before the world. It is a problem that grows worse every day. I believe that what we're seeing now in the way of great disaster, I don't know how many of you have watched the great hurricane or tornadoes rather that have been ripping through Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, getting down to Ohio, and going on, and the towns are just heaps of rubble. Automobiles and vehicles are just trashed, like tin cans being thrown on a pile. And if we do not bring ourselves into compliance with a true, unvarnished, uninhibited gospel of Jesus Christ, we may be among the next to feel that wrath, which I believe he is doing. I believe it is his wrath that he is pouring out upon He said the cleansing would begin in the land, in the house of the Lord, and in this chosen land. There are many scriptures that tell us that. And we need to begin to believe that if we don't already. And not only believe, but perform those works and labors that will bring us in compliance with the gospel of Jesus Christ and his commandments. And I would now like to turn over to another passage in the Book of Mormon. These are the words of Christ himself. These are not a minister or a servant of the Lord somewhere writing down what he is told, of which I have no problem. I believe them just the same as I do the others, with one exception. And that is, there is no possibility of there being error in these as there might be among men. So here in the 11th chapter of 3rd Nephi, on page 668, I want to begin with the 10th verse. And he's speaking to the Lamanites. At this point, there were still a majority which were Nephites that he had come to. Except where I can see a little better. Even from the days of your father are you gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. And how much we need to do exactly that. But you said, wherein shall we return? Christ says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? And he returns in tithes and offerings. And I want to pause here for just a moment. We often think that if we pay tithes, then we have no other obligations. Well, I'm not one of the bishops, and I don't know anything about their receipts and so forth. These days, there's not much offerings being given to the traveling missionaries, or at least to me, and I'm not asking for any. The Lord has blessed me, and I'm satisfied to serve him with all my heart. But there is more than just tithes that is an obligation, and that is offerings from what is left after tithe, and after the things that we do need are cared for. This is not defined anywhere in Scripture that I know of, but other than the implications from time to time where they're mentioned. Going on, you're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Now, he was speaking to the Nephites at that time, specifically, But he did not. He did not exclude all men, all nations who live upon this earth and whose substance comes from his earth, not ours. That's who he's speaking to. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. We had a delicious luncheon today. But if no one had brought anything, we'd all gone home hungry, wouldn't we? Or we had gone out to a restaurant if we could afford it and had a bite to eat there. That there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. What is the devourer? Who is the devourer? Well, it's simply put, it's Satan. It's the devil himself. But those afflictions, so forth, that he's speaking of are cancer, infection in my leg, my shortness of breath due to asbestosis, aging, Parkinson-like disease, which means I've got some of the symptoms of Parkinson, but not enough to call it Parkinson's. And a number of other afflictions. And going on with the 14th verse, or reading again the 14th verse. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruits before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. As we mentioned earlier, the devastation that not only this particular tornado has brought upon the central part of this country, and so far it's already hit about four fairly large cities. And the waste has been terrible. I have not heard yet what the death toll is. But looking at what is on the news, there will be thousands tonight who do not have a place to lay their head, who will not have sup for their children, who will not have food for themselves. You know, the weather there is not summer. It's going to be cold tonight in those areas. And they have not the wherewithal to keep themselves warm. Hopefully, there will be room made in public buildings for them to find shelter, and they aid groups in the nation. Hopefully we'll be able to get them food before they become too hungry. But, you know, then we look across our own borders and we see especially in the African nations, the horrible, horrible conditions that the children, as well as the adults, have to live in today. There's not food to nurture any of them, or not very many. And I'm sure that while there's selective showing of some, that there is also others in worse condition that are not being shown. I remember back in the 40s when my parents were working on the Navajo Reservation, that they were able to get such photography in this land, which caused President Truman to initiate an action to relieve them. And I'm thankful to see, as I travel that country from time to time, it's been a while now, 2 or 3 years since I've been there, but they are growing in protection and in the ability to care for themselves, as are other Native American people. But we still have an obligation to them, because this is their inheritance, this very land upon which we stand tonight or sit is their land. And it will be theirs again to control. Whether we like it or whether we don't, doesn't matter. I want to continue now with the, I believe it's the 16th verse, I won't hurt to reread it if it doesn't. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against thee? You have said, it is vain to serve God. And what doth it profit? So we're always looking for profit. Us Gentiles, we're, there isn't anything else out there worthwhile but profit. And he's telling us about this. And what doth it profit that we have kept his ordinances and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, them that tempt God are even delivered. You know, it brings to mind a report that on the news a day or so ago, might have been a little longer, that a man convicted of forcible and malicious rape of a woman was given no incarceration time at all. This is the kind of thing that the Lord is speaking of here. Let us go on. And other things. I might mention here for those of you that weren't at the East Local Wednesday night. Monday night, during the night, my nice red pickup was broken into. And so was the car of the young man who's living with me now, out of need. Didn't get much out of his. All he had was a couple of partially full soda pop cases, a dozen or so each. But it tore up his lock. Somehow they ripped the whole handle off of my pickup on the passenger side. And I had been in the habit of, from traveling as well as here in town, of leaving some valuable things in my car. I'd taken my GPS off and put it on the floor, and, but I have a little altimeter that I like to have and see, and it was still on the dashboard, and I might have thought that was a GPS, only it's only about this big around. And I had a very expensive camera and lens and a number of other things. Probably the value would run between $1,500 and $2,000. But I also had that briefcase. And it was taken too. And all of your addresses and phone numbers are in there in the directories, along with some other personal information that don't belong in anybody else's hands. And we discovered that the young man with me went out to go to one of his appointments about 9 o'clock in the morning. I called the police immediately and reported it. While they didn't come out, they took all the information. And just before 12 o'clock, I got a call. And that was on Tuesday. And they said, is this Mr. Wheaton? Yes. And give them all my ID and my car information. Or not car information, but the information they asked for. And they said, well, we have some items up here that were apparently taken from your car last night. And they gave me the directions to the recovery area down, the police car recovery area down here on Truman Road across from the Salvation Army headquarters. That's just you know, a couple of blocks east of Nolan Road. And I might say that as soon as I discovered what was lost and lost, I began to fast and pray. When I got up there, every single item that was missing had been taken from my car, including that briefcase, which as far as I'm concerned, was of far more value than importance to me and to the work that I strive to do for the Lord, was recovered. Nothing had been opened. The young man's soda pop was there, but he didn't want to go up and get it. So, and I couldn't. And so he was out probably $4 or $5 for the soda pop. But every single item was there. It was found in a vehicle that had been stolen Monday during the day from a woman out of one of the parking lots. I don't know which one. And she was there and she was claiming her stuff. But there was only the three of us involved. Her with the car. Her car was in fine shape. Everything that was hers was there. And then Wednesday morning, about 10 o'clock, I got another phone call from the police department that they had apprehended the young man. Well, I don't know whether he was a young man, but the man that had stolen the car and raided our cars. I don't know how much more God could have blessed me than to restore everything and those that were involved in the loss, everything that we had lost. And I don't stand here by any means to be an example of what you should become. You should become what God gives you and instructs you and encourages you to do for Him and for others, no matter who they might be. Well, I want to go on to the rest of that chapter, or some more of that chapter. Beginning with the 19th verse. And then they that feared the Lord spake often to one another. And the Lord hearkened and heard. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. That they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. Oh, wouldn't you like to be even the very small jewel, the most worthless gem that is in that ring, the necklace? I would. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. And you can bet that there are plenty of people tonight who believe that they're burning as an oven, even though they might be cold as ice. For behold, a day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all they that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And a day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts. That it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth, and ye shall go up as calves of the stall. Ye shall grow up as calves of the stall, and ye shall tread down the wicked. For they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. I hope that You deny every last one here without exception. And many, many more besides us will be numbered among that group whom he takes and protects to himself. And that we may be among those who trod down the wicked under our feet, as he has promised to those who believe in him. Amen.